Brethren, I hope that you are well. And I want to bring you a message out of the book of 1 Kings. And sometimes as I'm preaching, I know before I come into the pulpit or in the studio or on the street corner that I have the message of God. Tonight, I hope I do. I had a couple of texts in mind, but this one from 1 Kings 1, it appears as if it's the most that's in my heart and can be preached from my heart. And I want to communicate you the gospel. The title of the message is, He Did Not Invite. He did not invite. But we'll pick up our reading at verse number 5. And so Adonijah, the son of Haggith, he kept exalting himself. Anytime you and I see that in Scripture, it's trouble. And here's what's happening, is that Adonijah, he is looking at the fact that King David is old and he can't even get any heat, and he doesn't have any interest in women, the pleasures of this world, and the vanity of life is overcoming, not unto the ruining of his soul, but he tasted the bitterness of what's down here. And so Adonijah sees that his end is near, and he's going to burst forward on the scene to make himself king. And what that really means is that when you and I try to take the throne room of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we try to exalt ourselves, and we try to be big shots, and we try to be somebody, when all of the glory goes unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Our ministries are not about ourselves. Our preaching of the gospel, it is not to make a name for ourselves. Is we're not in this business to be great in the eyes of men. Our business, it really is to bring men and women unto faith in Jesus Christ. And so Adonijah, the son of Haggith, kept exalting himself, saying, I will be king. Verse number 9. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle. Here the stone of Zoheleth. That word means a serpent, which is next to Enrogel. It is near to be seen. He invited all his royal brothers. He had a big party. And all the men of Judah, the servants of the king, they aren't even his servants to invite them to do anything. He is usurping authority. He is encroaching upon the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the temple building and the kingdom, it was given to Solomon by God. And so way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, as when God promised that David would have a son, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 20, First Chronicles chapter number 23, I believe it is. No, it's chapter number 22. It's the Lord God promised that the one that was going to build the temple and the one that was going to be king after David was going to be Solomon. And here is Adonijah taking the place of Solomon, and it's a picture of you and I usurping the authority of Christ Jesus. Verse number 10 says from 1 Kings 1, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Hananiah, the warriors, or his brother Solomon. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, as he puts it like this, verse number 10, according to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it, but each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation with gold, with silver, with precious stones, true believers, he's working by faith, wood, hay, and straw, he is drawing attention and disciples unto himself. Each one's work will become obvious, for the day, that great day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be tried by fire. And the fire, it will test the quality of each one's work. If they're really trusting Christ. Now, if you're not preaching Christ, if you're not preaching the gospel, there's no salvation of anybody. No man or woman can be saved by a false gospel. And I don't care how close it comes unto the truth. If it's not the true gospel of the sovereign grace of God, if it's not justification by faith, if it's not election unto holiness and good works by faith, if it's not faith that works by love, if it's not being justified by faith alone, by a faith that's not alone, but that produces good works of love and holiness and righteousness towards my fellow man, it is not the gospel. If I'm not resting in Christ and trusting Christ and the finished work upon the cross, and if it's not producing holiness of life in me and you, it's not the gospel. And so a man, a woman, you and I, we cannot be saved by a false gospel. But he's saying here, I can preach the true gospel. I can build on the true gospel, that true foundation, but I can build in the wrong way, and I can build it for myself. I can preach for myself. I can usurp authority myself, even as a true believer. And that's what was happening, brethren, at the church of Corinth. They had the true gospel, but they're living for themselves. And some were unbelievers, and some were just wasting their lives as the children of God, when they could have been bringing forth much more fruit. I've gone into Babylon spiritually because I've had to learn the hard way. That it is all about the glory of Christ. It's all about the finished work of Christ. It's all about faith that works by love. It's all about the gospel and the power of God that's in it. But the day, all these trials are going to expose as to what men are trusting in. But on that day, a preacher who looks and sees, man, everybody I preach to, except for a few, is lost. He's going to lose out on all that labor. But the man who looks and says, look, these are the people who've been brought into the kingdom of God by me and through my hand and through the grace of God that works in me. He's going to have the joy of seeing them in heaven and hugging each other forever. Our labor must not be in vain. And if we exalt ourselves, it's in vain, oh. Verse number 14. if anyone's work had he built survives, if it's tested by the fire and is true, he will receive a reward. I'll get to see you in glory. Now, why am I preaching? Am I preaching that you would see me, or am I preaching that you would see Jesus Christ? There is so much self-serving in the ministry among Calvinistic preachers, and that's why we cannot even work together. Is we're arguing about who shall be the greatest inside of our heart, even if we don't say it with our mouths. That's why we're so quick to promote ourselves. Oh, I'm going to be online doing this. Now, I know it's to get the gospel out, but God knows the heart. If I'm saying I'm online, if I'm recording this for God's glory, Christ sees their faith. And here's the thing with me, brother. I need to see more works as the fruit of my ministry. And why is it that I don't see more things happening? He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He blamed it on their lack of faith. He didn't blame it on God. And I think that, and I'm sure that, brothers, what me and you do is we blame God for sinners not being saved. And what me and you say was, well, he's sovereign, he has an elect, I'm just going to go preach on the gospel. No, I'm to yearn. I'm to believe that God is going to save a sinner. I'm to preach in optimism and hope. If I haven't preached the truth in love, I haven't preached it properly. If it's not preached in hope, it's not preached properly. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. But he will be saved, yet it will be like an escape through fire. He's telling us this. If I'm preaching the true gospel unto the glory of myself, unto my fleshly attitude, unto my fleshly exaltation, unto me being somebody, I'm going to suffer loss at the great day. And I'm tired of suffering loss. How about you? I'm tired of being like Adonijah. I'm tired of my flesh being in my ministry. And I want to beat it down so that I become more like Timothy, who the scripture says, if this is what Paul said about Timothy, it's in Philippians 2, and I might just be preaching unto myself, but I'm not. I appreciate the people who are listening and will be hearing it online, but I need to preach this unto myself either more than or as much as anybody else. But look what Paul said unto Timothy in Philippians 2, verse 19. Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be encouraged when I hear news about you. For I have no one else like-minded. There's nobody like Timothy who is like me, Paul says, who will genuinely care about your interest. You. Not himself. Not to use you and preaching unto you in order to build up himself. Not for money. Not for fame. Not to feel good about himself. Not to look in the mirror and say, I'm a big shot. Not to kick up his feet at the end of the day and say, boy, I sure preached it. But Timothy, Paul says, is actually preaching for your benefit. And I want a heart like that. And I want you to have a heart like that. And I cannot settle for anything else. I cannot settle for being less than what God can make me in the ministry. And I got so many faults and so much need for growth. But I gotta grow. Instead of just thinking it's all right because I know everything about sovereign grace. I know the sound doctrine. I want the sound heart and the sound life. I don't want to exalt myself in ministry. All seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. It was an old man named Henry Mahan. I don't think I'd even met him yet. But I wrote him as a young minister that was just organizing a church. And initially, I refused to take the pastorate because I wanted to wait. But after the people said, no, it's you, I took it greedily. And I look back as when Henry Mahan sent me this verse. I wrote him and saying, look, it's a new church, it's a new group. We're trying to wait on the pastor. If you have a person that you recommend to send unto us, great. And then once the church said it's you, is I wrote back and said, don't worry about it. I've been called as a pastor, and I believe I have the will of God in the matter. He wrote me back with this verse. All seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. And I think that that man, from thousands of miles away, without ever meeting me, knew the secret of my heart. That I was covetous, that I was greedy, that I was proud, that I was in the flesh as a preacher of the true gospel. That I was not under the influence of the Spirit of God. And I can look back now and I can see, yeah, that was wrong and not right. You are right, Mr. Mahan. If I was under the influence of the Spirit, as I ought to have been, I would not have listened unto them, because the calling comes from God and not man. But to be willing to hear the people say, yeah, yeah, make him king. That's Adonijah. That's exactly what's going on. He exalted himself when the glory goes unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. That's a problem as big as anything. And the next problem is at the root of it, it's unbelief. Unbelief. So in 1 Kings chapter number 1, verse number 24, this is point 2. It's God who makes the king. And so my lord, the king Nathan said, did you say, it doesn't matter what Adonijah said. It doesn't matter what the people say, what the servants say. That's all insignificant. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter as to what the flesh says. It doesn't matter human opinion. He's talking unto the king. Did you say Adonijah is to become king after me, and he is the one who is to sit on my throne? It's for King David, who heard from God, to anoint that next king. It's not for you and me. For today, he went down and lavishly sacrificed oxen. Oh, he made a big to-do. He had a big speech. He had fattened cattle. He had a big party and sheep. And he invited all the sons of the king and the commanders of the army. He thinks he has military and political power.
It's almost like as to one of these mini-series on television that has all of that drama and all the infighting and all of the wheeling and dealing, or you go and you look at politics and you say that we're going to be doing this, or even in the church there's politics and scheming. That doesn't matter. Absolutely nothing. It matters whom God has anointed. And I'm going to tell you now, he has anointed and exalted our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has put his blessing, he has exalted and magnified faith, that the man that believes in him shall be blessed and shall be praised and shall have strength in God. It's not unbelief. It's faith. It's not the flesh. It's not the works of the law. It's not human strength that gets the job done. The only thing that works in the kingdom of God is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because faith gives God all the glory. It believes God. It gives him the glory of his character, his honor, his due, his worthiness, his greatness, his doing, his deeds in salvation, not ours, not our name, not our strength, our righteousness, or our wisdom, not anything that you and I add to the table. We have nothing to give. Everything that we give God, he gave us unto us first. That's faith. If I have faith, it's from God. It's the faith that comes by grace. If I have love, it comes by faith alone. And my faith and your faith, my friend, is in our Lord Jesus Christ, not ourselves. He's exalted his Son. He's magnified his one and only Son. And look, they are eating and drinking in his presence, and they are saying, "Long live King Adonijah." But who gave them that title, that right, that authority? It belonged to David, and it came from God. Exaltation is of the Lord. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be abased. But he says, he did not invite me, your servant, or Zadok, your priest. He didn't invite God unto the party. Or Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, or your servant Solomon, whom God had made king. The Almighty God said that Solomon would be king. He would build the temple. He would reign. He's a man of peace. That's why his name is Solomon. He will have peace from his enemies, because David did all the bloodshedding. Our brother David is a picture of Christ on the earth. He endured for 20 years all the harassment of Saul. He suffered. He fought wars. He shed blood. Our brother Solomon is a picture of Christ on his throne, reigning as the King of Peace without war, preaching peace unto his enemies. I'm certain my Lord the King would not have let this happen without letting your servant know. And so what he's saying is that if this is your will, that's all fine and dandy, but that's not what you said. And it was Nathan who got that message from God in 2 Samuel 7, that is, and 1 Chronicles chapter 17, that's expanded on in 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. And so we get the full message. He had already told David it was going to be King Solomon from the beginning of the promise that God was going to build him a house. And that can't be changed. That's an edict that cannot be changed by sinful men. We cannot change the will of God and exalt ourselves and we vaunt our strength and I'm somebody and I'm going to do it. God takes faith in Jesus Christ our Lord.
I am certain my lord the king would not have let this happen without letting your servant know who will sit on my lord the king's throne after him. It's not our throne, it's the king's throne. This is the King of Kings, and it's the Lord of Lords, and it's God Almighty. And you better fear and tremble, my friend. Don't exalt yourself in the place of God. And here's what God says. From Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. Speaking of Abraham, he did not waver in unbelief at God's promise. I'm going to actually start at verse number 19. He considered his own body to be already dead and was unable to produce seed since he was about 100 years old. And he also considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. This woman is almost 90 years old, ain't never had a child, and there ain't no way that she's going to have a child now. But as he looked at those things, he did it without weakening in faith. He looked at our sister Sarah, yes, her womb was all shriveled up and dry. Himself, 100 years old, he cannot produce seed. But it didn't stop him from believing God, who had promised that this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. He did not waver in unbelief. He didn't say God can't do it if he doesn't have my strength. He did not say that God needs me. And we get so much further in our preaching if we did not say that God needs me and your strength. That's what hinders us. Is we look at ourselves as so small, and then we think we can't save these people. But the whole thing about faith is you got to be looking at God. You see, the illustration is in Matthew 9. It's the two blind men said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And then the Lord Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do this?" "Yes," is what they answered. And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now, what is their faith in? It's in the mercies of God. It's not in themselves at all. It's not in us. It's not in our ability. It's not in our strength in prayer. Prayer is acknowledging my weakness. If we go preaching, trusting the mercy of God, don't you think that we'll trust God more to save people? And he operates by faith. Not human strength, not human ingenuity, not human wisdom, not human willpower, not human contribution. Who put those things on the throne? God didn't. He said Jesus Christ, and the only way to obtain him is by faith alone. And we're to believe in his goodness until our dying breath. It's the psalmist said, "It has been good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." He said, "It's good for me to believe God." He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith. He saw all the problems, and he still looked at God as being greater than his sin, his inability, his flesh, even the weakness and the deadness of the people that we're preaching to. It doesn't matter. If we're preaching on the sinners on the edge of hell, as long as they are alive, they can hear the gospel. God can save them according to his will. They've got nothing to do with it. It's not even their business. It's the covenant of God. He can make the dead stones live up. He's faithful. We got to put our faith in him. And I'm talking to myself. I'm tired of preaching in unbelief. Aren't you? I want God to make something happen. Who put the flesh on the throne? That was wrong of us
unto ever do, my brethren.
What he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. That's what faith does. It says, even though I'm a sinner, you can save me. Even though I don't have any righteousness, Christ is sufficient. Even though I have no strength, your spirit is the ability I need. Even though they're dead, you're able. That's what we need. And I'm praying, brothers. And me and you both have to get a breakthrough. And we have to get him. I was reading Brother Charles Spurgeon today, and he was talking about believing as he preached. And I was so reproved. Lord God, help me and you to believe the gospel. Not just preach accurate words and sound doctrine, but believe that God will work in the sinner's heart. Believe God will save. Don't be hindered by unbelief. This is my last point. It's in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 1, verse number 36, verse number 7. So Amen, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, replied unto the king. So King David has intervened, and he said, No. This throne is going unto Solomon. Adonijah represents the flesh and self-exaltation and the glory of man and the strength of man and the strength of free will and the strength of the works of the law. Solomon represents peace and the gospel and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith that gives glory unto God. That's the two kingdoms. That's the two kings, but only one's going to sit on the throne, and it's Christ by faith and the power of the Spirit. That's how we've got to preach His Word. Not just preaching it, but in power sent down from heaven, pleading, praying, and believing, and going forward with the gospel in our hands as if sent by God to open their eyes, not just to talk. Because I know that Brother Jeremiah had a different ministry than Elisha or Paul. And I know that Brother Noah had a different ministry than Peter or Lot. But I know this much. Faith pleases God, and unbelief does not. Self-exaltation, it does not. The flesh, it does not. And so Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, replied to the king, "May the Lord, the God of my Lord and King, so affirm it. May God be on your side," and he clearly make this verdict happen. "Just as the Lord was with my Lord and King, so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David." And you know what he's really saying there? "I bow all the way down. I scrape a hole in the dirt just to get down low enough to pay you homage. So be it." That is faith. And you know how faith produces its fruit? And you know what the chief fruit of faith is? It's love. 1 John 4. Utter submission unto the will of God is to love people. To be conquered by the King is to preach the truth in love. It's not just to preach it, is to preach it by faith. But faith loves.
There are two things about faith. One, it believes the finished work of Christ and has no work of its own. It is justified by faith only. Two, it works by love. It finishes the sufferings of Christ. That's what Paul said. I want to fill up in my body what's left of the sufferings of Christ. I got a life to live that's for His glory. And I don't want no faith that's not active and passive. Both. It does everything it is commanded and then says, I'm an unprofitable servant and trust the blood of Christ alone. But it preaches with all its heart. And at the same time, it doesn't trust its preaching at all, but God, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we've got to go forward. That's how we have to preach. That's how we have to pray. That's how we have to study. That's how we have to work. That's how we have to live with all of our might. Believing God and not our living at all. That's great faith. That's how faith grows. That's Luke chapter 17, verse number 10. I'm an unprofitable servant after I've served. Not without serving. It's both. It's trusting the finished work of Christ and it's working to finish the work of salvation down here by the preaching of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel, and the calling of God's elect. That's a work that's not finished yet. It must be done by us through His hand in the power of the Holy Spirit. And faith works by love. Oh, I want to be so much more loving. I have been shown. I've been shown as to the racial issues that came up, the conflict, all the arguing, all the bickering in the church. All of us angry at each other over so many things. I've been shown how much I need to love and grow in love. And that's what the true issue was. It wasn't the politics. It was the lack of love and the lack of glory unto Christ and of loving each other instead of condemning and judging. And let people be a little bit different. Everybody doesn't think like you and me. Our experiences are so different. But our unity is in Christ. Our love for each other must triumph over it. And here's what our brother John says. 1 John 4, verse number 16. Here's what true faith does. Here's what it means to truly submit unto the enthronement of Jesus Christ. So let me start at verse number 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 16. And we have come to know. That's what faith does. It knows. It's an earnest conviction that's wrought by the Holy Spirit. It's assurance. It's the evidence. It's the I'm convinced. That's God-given faith. It's not speculative. It gets down into the heart. And you know. If you've been taught by God, you know. You do not doubt Philip if he's the Christ. You know. Because God says so. He's written it on your heart. He put a new law inside of you, which is to believe and love. And to believe the love that God has for us. And the love of God, by faith, as is shown upon the heart, it convinces me and you that God loves us. And He loves us freely. And He loves us without our works. And He loves us even without our faith. Because while me and you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent His Son
because he loved us, to be a propitiation for our sins. He didn't wait on us and to get faith first. He didn't wait on us to love him first. No, he died for us while we were yet enemies, and then he rose again. And then he sent the Spirit into our heart, crying out, Abba Father, as he gave us faith in the Son. God is love. I believe this love that God has for us who? Us who believe the gospel. Us who have received the propitiation, the atonement. Us who rest in Christ Jesus. Us who love. God is love. And the one who remains in love, who abides in love, who walks in love, who loves other people because he's loved by God, he remains in God, and God remains in him. And if God is love, and God is inside of me, then I am a loving person, and that's why the next verse says that perfect love, it casts out fear. Because as he is, so are you and I in this world. And God is love. That's not just talking about my acceptance in Jesus Christ. That's talking about we love him because he first loved us. He's telling us, as I'm going to read it, just to make sure everyone is clear. Verse number 17. In this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love, his love perfected by bearing the fruit of love in me and you, it drives out fear, because fear, it involves punishment and torment, because I'm in danger, I'm under the wrath of God. And so the one who fears has not reached perfection in love, and we love because he first loved us. And so when the love of God is made known in our hearts, and I truly trust Christ, I've seen his glory, I've stopped trusting in my flesh, I've stopped relying upon myself, I've stopped relying upon all of the tactics of hating me for self-exaltation and for self-glory. There are a lot of ministries, brethren, that could weep rivers of tears, except there will be no weeping in heaven. But when we get there and we see all the people who are not saved, who have been left out because our preaching was for ourselves. But as we change that and we get converted and we get turned unto the right way, and we're truly trusting our Lord Jesus Christ, not the flesh, not self, not self-effort, not what me and you can do, not our own strength, not our own zeal, and we're walking in love towards other people, that is building with silver, with gold, and with precious stones. And it's going to endure the fire. And when we get to meet God at Judgment Day, our reward is going to be that our labor, it was not in vain. That's what I want for me and you. I don't want us to labor in vain. I don't want to preach for the glory of myself anymore. So pray for me, because that's going to take a lot of prayer. But a change has to be made. We're talking about a change in our society in the U.S. and a big change here in Nigeria. A change has to be made in our own hearts until we're seeking the glory of God by
lovingly talking to people about the gospel because we believe it. And by treating people with love. Because Christ is in our heart by faith, and we truly recognize His glory, and we turn from the tactics of the flesh. Adonijah did not invite God's people. He did not invite God. He did not invite Solomon or Nathan, the prophet who knows the will of God, because he was interested in exalting himself. And as you keep going in 1 Kings, or as we keep going, he's going to be killed because he does not give God all the glory. It might take a little while, but his lust is going to come out. His disregard for God's throne and for God's authority, as it's revealed through Solomon, is going to come out. And Solomon is going to have him slain. And a few years ago, when I was, you know, much younger, believer, and I looked at that as to when Solomon actually kills him later, I was a little mad. I was a little bit like, that's not fair. But I just, you know, I just bowed to it. But now I know what Adonijah was doing. He was trying to take the glory that belongs unto God alone, whom Solomon, our Prince of Peace. And so the Lord be with you. I hope that you'll change. I hope that you'll repent. I hope that you'll pray for it. If you join with me in prayer, if the Lord will change us, He repents us, He turns us, He brings forth more fruit. I don't think, brethren, that we have to believe that we're on our own and we can't be helped. I think if we have of the mercy of the Son of David and we turn to Him, He can do that. He can make us be what we need to be in order to bring God glory. And the Lord bless you. If I can be of help to you, you let me know. Amen. But believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn to Christ Jesus by faith. He'll receive it. He'll receive it. Amen.